the major hurdles, I won't call it barriers, major hurdles in terms of getting the program started, in addition to that, and actually that program was under pressure because it was the infectious disease fellows who were running it through the attending, and as you can imagine, the volume of calls kept on increasing, and there was starting to be pushback because they were doing more approval calls than seeing patients, and it was basically encroaching on the teaching mission. So I think that became a problem. So the hurdles to getting funding were actually presenting the business case and getting the business case through to get funding for physician and pharmacist support.
How hard was that?
Well, I'd say it was challenging. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 5 or 6. I've had things which have been much more difficult. I think now the business case is a little bit easier because there's clearly this regulatory push towards doing it. I say the challenges for a business model for antibiotic stewardship are the following. One is, an effective stewardship program is very, I think you can, especially in hospitals that are unregulated to begin with. Certainly in the first year, you can make a very good business case for an average-sized hospital for a stewardship program because just on the basis of drug costs. Some of these drugs are extremely expensive, and if you reduce staphylococcus and Tepezza use and meropenem use, you can generate a couple hundred thousand dollars in savings easy on an average hospital. For example, Lamazal is another one. When we started our program, we reduced our costs from $450,000 to $260,000, one drug.
Now, which one was that?
Zosyn.
Okay, gotcha.
If a program costs $200,000 between ID and pharmacy, we've already met our buck.
So it went from $450,000 a year to what?
In 1 year.
To $250,000.
Now, there's also what I would call intangible costs. So, for example, what is the patient safety? How do you measure patient safety in terms of dollars? That's something which has always been very difficult to transmit to administrators. There is a tangible part, and that is our stewardship programs also have an impact on C. diff rates, and effective stewardship programs reduce C. diff rates in some cases by up to 50 to 60%.
What kinds of numbers have you seen at Bayview?
Our C. diff rates decreased by about 40% when we implemented the stewardship program. But we were doing some other things, too, at the same time, so it was really hard to pin that down. Mm-hmm. But this is something which is reasonably consistent. So I think C. diff is a very tangible measure because it results in increased length of stay and so forth. The other area where we have impact is we found that about 15% of patients who are being prescribed long-term antibiotic therapy with PICC lines could not be the PICC line, which also impacts discharge, also impacts costs. So one of the things that we did a pilot project, which was not an issue at our hospital, but we worked at a hospital in Delaware where we worked with hospitalists and pharmacy in developing a model stewardship program as a demonstration. And what they did is they saved $60,000, it was either $60,000 or $80,000, just by removing ertapenem as pre-op prophylaxis for abdominal surgery. There are a number of programs, a number of hospitals, where ertapenem is used as preoperative prophylaxis for abdominal surgery. It's based on actually a New England Journal article, which was published, I believe, in 2006, where it showed that there was efficacy shown. But there's other issues with that paper as well as the practice. And, for example, that's not practice at Hopkins or many other major teaching hospitals. And there are some indications that may also increase C. diff. So just by getting rid of that and moving towards the standard preoperative antimicrobial regimen, they save between $60,000 and $80,000. That's on a 200-bed hospital.
And that's not a Hopkins-affiliated hospital, right?
That's not Hopkins-affiliated, but that's a demonstration project that we were doing with them. So I think there's enough now. So that's one challenge in making the business case. The second challenge is you generate all these savings year, between the second and the third year, you're not going to generate much savings. If you don't continually invest, what's going to happen is that if you take stewardship interventions away, antibiotic use will start going back up, and it will eventually go back to its previous levels.
Is that a challenge that hospitals face? I mean, it seems kind of logical that if you made such strides in the first year, if you take that away, you'll lose those gains in subsequent years.
Basically, this is a way in terms of dealing with, let's say, for example, the COO or the president who funded you the first year and sees the benefit and understands the benefit. Let's say he or she moves on the following year to a new position and somebody new comes in. And they're looking at your expenses and say, well, what's my... They look at this as a traditional business model. They'll say, well, where's my revenues to offset the costs? And we've seen this. Sometimes they just don't get the value proposition. So I think this is a, for how this is pitched to senior leadership, it needs to be pitched as a value proposition, not as a revenue proposition.